what I use to link things up is the song. Because right. if we're singing in unison, then the, everything else is in shape.
I'm going to have to remember that and intentionally sing all fucked up. Thank you for telling me that.
When I thought you were already doing that.
The people that you know don't love you. And you're see, yeah, you
already had me fooled. It was the weirdest fucking thing. I'm like, what is going on yeah. here? How does that happen? But anyway,
there must have
weird.
Been some sort of cosmic flare up of, I tell you, things are, I know.
Hey, you know what?
Mercury's retrograde.
Is it now? Yes, When did it start?
This week, I think.
On the 29th.
Oh, okay.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Counts. Where's the map? Yep. That would have been Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, last
and
Saturday.
We recorded on Sunday.
Yep. And we recorded on Sunday, yeah. had technical difficulties with it. There you go.
I continue to also, I told you guys about this, I think 2 weeks ago. I came into my booth after driving back from LA yesterday. I had some voiceover I needed to do. I came in, set up my laptop, was flipping the switch on the old unit over here, if you know what I mean, on the, on the buff-colored boomer, and set down my glass of sparkling water to wet me whistle, immediately Uh-oh. Spilled it all over everything.
Of course.
Immediately. The course. Entire thing. It's dripping like you all just... over the soundproofing, and I have a blanket up here to kind of block sound, and it's all over the carpet. Like, not there was barely a drop left. The entire glass full of this
like when
beautiful,
Mercury
delicious,
in,
sparkling liquid.
When Mercury
everywhere.
Goes in retrograde, you guys should immediately just that first day just be resigned that it's going to happen. Grab a glass of water, walk in, splash it on your equipment, and go, okay, at least we got that out of the way. Wipe it all up and be like, there we go, we're done.
What you do is you burn a spliff of sage.
That's the size of sage. No one's ever said that.
That's the spliff of sage. There's our title, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the size yeah. of a whisk broom.
Gosh. I'm going much more practical, and I've just regressed. I'm going back to sippy cup. That's all yeah. I can do right now. It's still proof sippy cup.
You want to come over for some Milwaukee's best NA and a spliff of sage?
Oh, only if it's in a sippy ever. Cup, I'll be. But there won't be any evil spirits when the people,
you know, no,
people like you and you no. treasure friendship.
No.
Okay, here's what we do. On four, everybody clap. One, two, three. Nobody did, you assholes. I knew it. None of us did. We're all assholes.
I clapped on five.
All right,
let's go.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendship said, tune into this podcast where your artificial friends.
Different guitar this week. I had to take my guitar in for some fret dressing.
Ooh, what?
Doesn't that sound delicious?
Oh,
I like
it does.
When I get a salad, I'll get some fret dressing.
You know, I was thinking about having fret dressing for Thanksgiving this year.
I go in. It was looking for a shop to get my. We talked briefly about this, I think, last week. Maybe it was offline, but. Josh, we were talking about luthiers, you know, guitar technicians. I bought the guitar that I play, you know, most of the time, bought it 21 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And had it set up at the time by somebody who was really, really good at working on guitars, Jim Carruthers. He now makes guitars. But go and look up Carruthers Guitars and look at the client list that he has. It goes back to Jimi Hendrix and Clapton and shit. Like, the guy worked on Blackie, right? You know, he worked on ELO's guitars and Todd Rundgren's and everyone's. And so I go to this guy. He was down in Venice. And he set up the guitar, and even, you know, he took it at the time, and he's like, wow, this is a nice guitar. And he set the thing up for me. Haven't had anything done on it. I've been an asshole about it for over 20 years. Finally, I'm playing it and you know, playing just a D, and I'm like, prink, prink, prink. I'm hearing the buzz of the string. So I'm like, it's time to get something done on this.
Is that when you were like... Maybe it isn't my crappy playing. I can't tell if I'm just not hitting that right or the guitar's broken.
Yeah. food for thought.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad Neil Young never had that thought process.
Did he work on any of those guitars?
Nobody did, Josh. Nobody did.
Exactly. He got them straight out of the box and said, "Let's go, boys."
Are you done? Are you quite done?
That's one of my favorite continuing threads through these episodes. We just spring it up out of nowhere anytime. Go ahead. Yes, yeah. Yes, please continue.
So, Andy, you need some guitar work done.
So I need to find a new luthier. I come to find I've got one, like, just, you know, a mile or so from here. And I look up his credentials on the internet, on Yelp, because that is 100% factual.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But anyway, he's got like 75 Yelp reviews, and 74 of them are 5 stars. So I'm like, wow. Okay. All right. Well, let's go check this guy. I go to the place and open the door. The place is about as big as my master bathroom. And these two guys are standing in there, and they're both working on guitars. Seriously, they're standing like 4 feet away from each other.
Their asses are touching.
they're so, honestly, you can only open the door. Honest to God, you open the door, and you can't open it all the way. You open it like halfway, and then there's a wall of guitar cases that blocks you from getting any closer to them. You have to hand your guitar over a pile of guitar cases. And so I hand the guitar to him. Nicest people in the world. Just like thoroughly enjoyed talking to him and so forth. He takes the guitar and he's like, "Ooh, wow, Tacoma, that's beautiful. That sounds great." We're talking about it for a second and he's saying, "So what do you need done?" And I tell him, you know, about the buzzing. I had a buzzing G string.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah. Where can I get one of those? Thank you.
it just barely covers my buff cover.
Is it battery operated or do you charge it?
And so I have this thing and he plays it for it, and he says, "Well, I don't know if we need to do the, you know, entire fretboard, because, you know, a lot of it's in good shape, but maybe a partial, you know, refretting, and then, you know, sand down the frets and so forth." But he says, "You know, for the frets, you know, like for those top three, like it'd be like seven and a half each for those. So like we're talking, you know, $2,250." And I'm thinking,
I'll just go buy another guitar.
$2,200? And he said, and they both start laughing. They're like, "No, $22.50. I'm like, "Oh, for a second there, I thought you were talking about making it into a museum piece.
That's what I would have just said. Go ahead and keep it."
Yeah. You guys must be really good. I mean, Yelp was right.
Scared the hell out of me. But anyway, it's like $175 to have all of the frets dressed and sanded down and everything. But, you know, to replace the other one, I'm like, "Wow, this is great. This is fantastic." Because I thought hundreds, you know, to have somebody do who knows what they're doing to do it right.
You know, how there's like some, we've talked about like radio engineers, how like there's certain type of people that their jobs are just by knowing what they do, you know that they're a unique kind of person.
Yeah,
you know, totally. Luthiers totally fall into that category. Guitar people that work on guitars, there's just something. It's always a little bit off on, and they're great people, but it's they're like radio engineers. There's always that something little bit of, I can tell there's something a little bit different about
you. Yeah, people who live just on the fringe of something mainstream, like, right. you know, radio engineers exist, but they're like mole people, you know, you're not really sure where they are or what they do. So this sounds like the same kind of thing.
And here's the other thing. They're insanely smart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super they're high, like, intelligence. Yeah.
They're like Unabomber smart. Right. All of these, you know, radio engineers and luthiers and so. Yeah. They have the skill set, the ability to use things for evil, they're, but they use them for good.
That's what you call disturbingly intelligent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Although when you do a little digging, like for instance, we had this engineer at the radio cluster who was like super smart, very young, a cool dude. But, you know, that little bit of off, kind of like, OK, he's weird, but he's great. I mean,
I know who you're talking about.
No, you don't. No, this
I
is,
think I do.
No, I don't think you do.
No.
But this guy, we loved, and he was always great, responsive, and he really knew his stuff, and was like, I wonder what he's about. And then somebody just kind of poked around and found him on his Facebook profile, which nobody from the radio station was friends with him on there. And his profile picture was him holding a couple of semi-automatic weapons. And you're like, oh, okay. So, yeah, let's not yell at him about anything when equipment breaks down. Let's stay on his good side. Because and the day he was, I can't remember if he was let go or if he left on his own. But we were all like a little bit tentative for the next couple of days going, is that guy coming back? Yeah. Is he coming back to get his stuff? Or should we hide? Should we lock a door? But it was
there fun. Was this goofy, crazy guy that when I worked in Nielsen, it was in Hollywood, like right on Sunset and Vine. And he would be outside in front of he was mentally disturbed. He was always in a ass open robe, you know what I mean, from a hospital. I don't know how he got out, but he'd always be out there. And he was this big, super tall guy. And he talked like this. and he was like intimidating. And he'd always come up to me and be like, can I have a cigarette? And I'd be like, I'd always give him one. And my boss is like, why do you do that? And I'm like, you wait till, you know, D-Day comes. And that guy comes around the corner, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, you remember me? I gave you cigarettes. And he's going to be like, move along, friend. Move along.
He'll say, I've got lung cancer, and you'll be the first to go.
Exactly.
Hey, Andy, did you come up in radio in Indiana at a time where you had a newsman on your radio station? Like, did your station break for news and there were actual dedicated news people?
Yes. Well, I was hired in the news department at first. There was a news director.
Wasn't that the same kind of area we're talking? Because the news guys, and they were always men that I worked with coming up, they were always uniquely unusual in their very own weird way.
Well, our news director was fun because she, it was a female first, and she was one of those people, she was very young. She was, you know, I'm trying to think back now. She was probably, you know, barely 30 years old when I was there, but, she, you know, seemed a little older to me because I was all of 21. And she was one of those people who thought that they did dangerous things, but they didn't, you know, like she'd be... We went out with our friends over the weekend with my girlfriends, and we went to a bar, and we all ordered these Pinot Grigio spritzers, and the bartender came around and said, did you guys want anything with that? Did you want ice in that? And we're like, no! And we just all started laughing. It was like that kind of shit. I'm like, and we just all started laughing because it was so crazy.
Because they were taking it straight?
It was absolutely not crazy. And she went to Wisconsin, and she'd wear like a Bucky the Beaver. Is that right? Bucky the Badger? What's the school that has Bucky?
Wisconsin is the Badgers.
Wisconsin, right. Yeah. So they had the Wisconsin Bucky the Badger.
I don't know what his name is.
Is that right?
I don't know.
So,
I know it's a badger,
so
though.
They had these T-shirts that said "Fuck 'em, Bucky" on the bottom of it. So she would wear that, but like she would fold up the "fuck 'em" part because she was, you know, too dainty to say. She's like, "Get him, Bucky!" And I'm like, "Oh God." That was our weird version of
we had a guy named Chuck who was it reminded me of what Josh was talking about. This guy was like. I mean, he must have been like 6'4" or something. He was, you know,
Lurch
size. and he would just kind of lumber around the building, and, you know, everything was too small for him. You know, every chair was too little. He was always hunched over the microphone. But the most problematic issue with Chuck is he was around all day. He did news breaks. Like he was there for like 8 hours nonstop, checking the AP wire and writing up stories. And they would have news like every hour on the hour. But at one point, once or twice a day, and this was according to my program director who witnessed this because he was there every day. I was doing nights. Chuck would have to retire to the facilities, and every day destroy the bathroom. Just, he had major gastrointestinal issues, like things that he was being treated for and ended up having to, you know, go to the hospital for. But he would go in there with his own roll of toilet paper because he knew he was going to probably use the whole roll.
Well, and let's face it, the company supplied toilet paper, I bet, is just a step above carborundum.
Yeah, it was one, I'm sure it was one ply and just, you know, completely terrible. You're right. He would go in with his own Charmin and a little jar of Noxzema, which apparently was to soothe the resulting session.
Man.
And so it always
know, that's
was
got to be the ultimate walk of shame when you go, you know, grab my Noxzema and toilet paper, and everybody knows exactly what you're doing.
That's the thing. He did not care, and that's what that's what made him unique. Which was, everybody saw him every day walking with his implements of destruction into the bathroom. He never bothered to take the time to clean the arterial spray of what he did, and it was horrible, and they couldn't have a talk with him because it was like, I don't have time to drive home and do what I need to do. We're out off the city limits, you know. He was doing news on the hour every hour. I mean, so it was just, they had to hire, you know, somebody to come in extra times a week to clean the place.
Cindy was standing in the office with me the other day, and Owen comes around the corner and goes, I just did a dump. I go, what? He goes, I did a dump. I'm like, buddy, you don't have to tell us when you go take when you go to the bathroom. He's like, you do.
Wow. Owen apparently has witnessed dump talk in the Fleer household.
I guess I do make a fool now that I'm going to take a dump.
Everybody clear out. You're not going to see me for half an hour.
Sounds like culture.
Hey, off topic, and you probably do an edit right here. My Audacity was screwing up.
Hold, please. And we're back. What a great interlude that was.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody, but Josh had to go take a dump. So
I did a dump.
You did a dump.
But before we move on past this, my favorite radio station dump story was the very, very first day of Mark in the Morning at the Sound. And I happen to be in the bathroom when Mark comes in there. And he sits in the stall next to me, and I finish, and I'm cleaning myself, and I exit. You're feeling a little bit off that morning, and I wash my hands and leave. Like the first break we do, Mark's like, hey, I was in the bathroom next to Andy this morning, and he rolls out some toilet paper, then he rolls out some more, then he rolls out some more. Then he rolls out some more. I'm like, thank you for this, Mark. Appreciate the play-by-play of me having a busting a grumpy earlier. Yeah.
I'm sure I told the story, and I won't tell it again here, but my first radio job running Casey Kasem's American Top 40, I had an emergency in the middle of my shift, and I had to wait. And it used to be the segments were really short back then. Like, he'd play two songs, and then you'd have to play commercials. There was finally a three-song segment, just enough time for me to go and really let loose what I needed to let loose. And that was when the cleaning lady decided to go into the studio and wipe everything down while I was gone. And when she did, she hit the stop button on the turntable where the Casey Kasem American Top 40 show was playing on vinyl. And I'm in the middle of a rather prodigious amount of excrement when bang, 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 the record stop, the record stop. Now I'll hear that in my nightmares. I had to pinch that baby off, run out
and
figure out why there was complete silence and dead air, and finally hit the green start button, and you hear And coming up next on the countdown, it's the...
I was going to say, Charles from West.
What people heard before it happened. Yes.
And the rest of us just picture you standing there with your belt buckle around your ankles.
Yeah, and you know what? When you're halfway
out there... I did pull my pants up before I ran back into the studio.
If you're halfway through that process, you can't suck that turtle head back up.
No,
oh, come on. Come on.
Yeah, you got that's just... Yeah. I mean, I would have just been like, well, I guess we're going to have like 30 more seconds of silence.
Well, see, that's the thing. In hindsight, of course, that being my first radio job and I was on absolute pins and needles every time I was there, just afraid of something like that happening. And this was maybe just a few weeks in. So I got too comfortable. I have since then never needed to poop or allowed myself to poop while my shift is on.
By the way,
we shouldn't stop. This is the second week in a row where we've gone deep into poop.
This is the five listeners we have vacated at this point,
so to speak. Yes, just like our bowels, apparently.
Which is this is really funny because Andy, you remember when we started doing the show and I was like, well, what are we going to talk about? And I would just write shit down. Came into my head. Well, I wrote something down that was on my monitor, and it's funny. I just wrote these two words down: recliner toilet. I thought, why is there not a recliner toilet? Wouldn't that be a great thing? Wouldn't that be just nice to be able to just lay down, relax, and do your stuff with it? You know, like watch the game, just recliner toilet.
Yeah, I don't know if that's. I mean, it goes against the theory of the squatty potty, which is the complete opposite posture, which is supposed to really,
Not if you put your feet up.
Okay. All right.
Maybe you get one of those things like they have at the gynecologist. Strap.
Like stirrups. Yeah,
stirrups. Get one of those.
Okay, there's some.
I don't want anybody ever to see me do that, but I think I'd try it if I could put like seven locks on the door.
See, now, I think that if you're reclined, then urine would tend to up.
Yeah, also there's a gravity issue. I mean, part of what, needs to happen.
You can lay face down.
like a massage table? That doesn't seem right at all. More like a massage chair. How about a massage chair, but with a hole in the bottom?
Well, I was going to say, maybe just like a bed. You just be like, I'm going to start off number one, so I'm going belly up, belly down first. Then I roll over for number two.
But then comes the issue of cleaning, and you're reclined, and you're on your back.
I think they got to have a bidet. I'm with Josh. You got to have a built-in bidet in these contraptions. Yeah. Absolutely.
And one of those Japanese toilets with all the buttons and stuff?
Maybe. I don't know. My parents.
No. This is going to be an American-made product. God damn it. Yeah, we're not going to outsource this to another country.
Mine's going to have a beer holder and a gun rack.
And an American flag. God damn
mine's
it.
Mine's going to have effing truck nuts. I want truck nuts on my recliner toilet.
Wow. The truck nuts recliner toilet. I would like to voice the ads if I can. If it's all right, Josh. I see Andy writing this down.
taking copious notes. I am intrigued by these Japanese toilets, though, that do everything. They've got that control panel.
Yeah, my parents just bought one.
You press one of the 94 buttons on it, and it says, Washitoita. And then a wire whisk goes up your ass or something.
Wow. They've always been ahead of us on technology that we don't realize we need until we get one. And, it was like when people were going, what are these video game consoles? Who's going to sit at home and play video games all day? And when you've got the arcade in the mall down the street.
Yeah, you can go put a quarter down in the arcade machine.
That's one of the next pieces of technology that will be. I mean, there was a run on bidets at the beginning of the pandemic. Did you know that?
Yep.
I did not know. Because there was a toilet paper
shortage. So all of a sudden, and I checked because I was curious about it on Amazon. It's like every bidet, even the portable ones that you can kind of attach to your existing toilet, sold out on back order on Amazon for like months.
Here's the thing that I don't understand about bidets that I can't quite get my head around. If it's a separate device, so I'm going to evacuate myself, and then to clean up, I'm going to trot 3 feet to the left and sit down on something else. That seems like that's opening up that no man's land in between there, DMZ.
Well, that's why the all-in-one makes the most sense. Yeah. I mean, I think clearly the French were not thinking far enough ahead.
Now, they only all-in-one, except it reclines.
With truck nuts.
Forwards and backwards, depending on.
Nice. Let's stop talking about shit.
Yeah.
Why? We've gone 30 minutes in and that's all we've talked about.
This podcast specializes in shed talk, not shit talk.
Isn't that the same thing?
But I'll tell you what.
Do you want to know which one we prefer? Would you like to take a vote? let's ask the audience what they think.
Oh, by the way, that's Larry Morgan.
Oh,
Josh Frigger. I'm Andy Chanley. Sam Farmer, probably on permanent assignment at this point. If he hears this,
he's never coming back.
Got to tell you something. We did this last week. Getting tired of our new kitten. Well, now 1 year old.
It's
a cat. Getting tired of her.
Threw it away.
Getting tired of her.
Putting it up for auction.
Getting tired of her carousing around the neighborhood.
Oh,
like she like a little, she's a little kitten whore.
No,
She stays out all hours of the night. She did it a couple months ago. She stayed out. So we put collars, on. I'll put it this way: we had cats in our backyard.
I thought you for a second you were talking about Laura. Sorry. Go ahead. I get it.
You're gonna have to answer.
No, she doesn't. Think she's made it through 30 minutes of poop to get to this point? There's no way.
This will be the one where she does it. Anywho, so we had, older cats, and they couldn't jump up on the fence, let alone, get out and carouse. So we didn't have to worry about having, collars on them. They never left the yard. Well, now we've got these kittens. We had these kittens, and they got, we kept them in for so long, but then they got brave, and they were going out in the backyard, and then finally, jumping up on the fence and going to the neighbor's yard. And not causing any problems, but started to worry about them, especially a couple of months ago when one of them, Pika, she left all day, like didn't come back for lunch. And she's a little piggy. So we knew that something was up. She was gone all day. She must be trapped somewhere. And so that's when we decided, well, we got to get collars for them right now. We got to put collars on them with our phone numbers and so forth. They're chipped and everything. So we'd, if someone checked into it, we would get them back. But we don't want to take that risk. And we don't want it to be a burden on neighbors, certainly. So we got the collars. Well, collars don't help if they still run away, right? And they're, off somewhere. So I started looking into tracking mechanisms. And most cat GPS trackers are pretty expensive. Like, you'll spend $100 on the tracker, and then you got to spend like $8 a month on the service per cat. So I'm like, fuck that. That seems like a lot. Just a couple of months ago, Apple comes out with these AirTags. These little, quarter-sized discs that you can put in your backpack or whatever, and then you can track it with your iPhone. Well, you have to find my iPhone.
Just tape one on her.
Well, no, I found...
Make her eat one.
God. Wow.
Eat this.
Is that how it works? You shall eat this at them?
And you throw it. That's exactly how you feed pets.
That is not how it's done. So I found on Etsy, somebody made a little holder that will slip on a collar that will hold one of those little things. By the way, this coming from Lithuania or something. So it's on a slow boat from
Lithuania.
Soviet bloc countries. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's on the way, and we're going to put those on the cat and then we'll be able to track it. But the cat got out again the other night, stayed out all goddamn night, just making us worried sick, never coming back. Finally comes home in the morning. Like rolls around like 5:30 in the morning.
Smells like Red Bull and vodka.
She is dead tired. Yeah, she sleeps for like 6 hours. Just zonks out. So she must have been out having a real wingding
party girl.
You know what you gotta do next time she does that? Come home and be like, "Come on, let's sit down and have some breakfast." Make her up some nice greasy bacon. Make her sit down and eat it with you, and teach her to be partying all night.
where were you last night? Yeah, give her the whole third degree.
I think my mom did that to me one time when I was young, one of the very first times I just got blitzed. And it was like the last day of school. And I woke up in the morning and I was like, I'd thrown up that night. And they, you know, obviously they didn't know. Well, at least I think they didn't. I assumed they didn't know. But my mom's like, come on, let's go down to the mall. We're going to go shopping. I want you to go with me. And it was like 8 a.m. and I'd been out like 3 a.m. You know what I mean? It was just like, and I remember just sitting in the car and not talking for and like doing the best I can not to dry heave and just doing all that, like just cold sweats. It's the middle of the summer and she's got no AC running. I'm just sitting there sweating with a hangover. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think times have changed. Parents looking out after their kids. At that time, by the way, they knew. They totally knew.
I know. Why she did it. I'm saying.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. Teach you a lesson.
But our kids, like my son is now, you know, he's 10 years old. He's almost 11 and he's begging for an iPhone. Oh. And we were just talking about this, bringing the AirTag thing back into it. You will get an iPhone when you get to high school.
You're gonna make him eat an AirTag?
No,
or get it put in the collar around his neck.
We're totally gonna be tracking you on your phone. We'll know everywhere you go. Yep. We'll know when you're out at the woods drinking old Milwaukee near beer. We will be able to track you. That's the trade-off. Yes, you'll get this freedom. You'll get this phone, but we're going to be able to track you and know where you are at every.
Yeah,
point.
But they're smart enough to know that they can turn it off.
Yeah, we're training.
They'll be like, I'll just deal with this beast when I come home tomorrow, but I'm going to turn this off right now.
Well, that's the rule is you can't turn it off.
You enforce that rule where when they're out in the woods and you don't know where the hell they are.
Give me back your phone.
And well, how often is the, it got juiced out. I didn't have a charger out in the woods.
Exactly. Then give me back your goddamn phone and you're not going to see one until you can buy one yourself. Wow. That's the trade-off on that shit.
You guys are mean.
I didn't say that, Larry. That was
mean. Come on, that's the fun of being a parent.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you can choose that you're right. You can make this choice. You can have a tantrum right now, but then you're not going to have dessert the rest of the month.
Jeez.
I'm going to beat you. It's you have every right to make this choice and I support you in your individuality, but the repercussion is going to be that life will suck for a little while.
Yeah. You can deal is that this, what you then, say is that I'm not going to beat you, but I'm going to deprive you of the one simple joy and pleasure that you are allowed in this household where you get very little
violence.
TV and absolutely no sugar.
No,
I don't believe
no,
in violence.
No. No, I
no
say
judgment.
I'm not.
No judgment.
I say I'm not going to beat you today.
So it's always hovering. It's always just back there as a
nothing
a
is off the table.
Threat. Okay,
I'm
not going to hit you, but you notice your pillow and blanket are now in the garage. Okay, and next is we're just going to eliminate water. No more water for no swimming, no bass, no drinking. Okay, so let's just get
see
straight.
How. We'll see how much energy you have after you've gone a few days without water.
Exactly.
Huh? Let's see how spunky you are then. You think, come up with a one-liner then.
You think that water's free? No.
Hey, the water you lose costs as much as the water you use.
Coming from the guy who let a hose run for 5 hours in the backyard. Right. But admittedly, you are paying for it. So, you know, you can do whatever you want with your damn water.
Andy. It's my roof and my hose. Yeah, I got a technical question to ask you guys. You may or may not know this. I may have to, you know, talk to an enrolled agent, a certified public accountant about it. But
somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, this year, Laura and I, our accountant, our usual accountant, figured out that if this year only, because of weird tax things that happened last year and so forth, if we filed separately. Married filing separately instead of married filed jointly. If we file married filing separately, we could save a good chunk of money on taxes.
Is that because of that tax credit thing?
This weird stuff. I don't know all the details of it. But anyway, he said it's a significant amount of money. And he's right. It ended up being a significant savings. So my question is this. Since Laura and I are filing separately this year. Does that mean I can have an affair? Is that a hall pass?
Is that an affair that you're going to have to put on your W-2?
I can only do it until December 31st.
Yeah, I would say have the affair, but keep the receipt, definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
Have the affair, disable the tracking thing on your phone.
Around your neck.
Turn that off, because you don't want that baby going off.
Yeah.
I mean, this is both a question for your new CPA and Laura.
Your clergy member.
And your conscience, I think. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great name for a band. The Clergy Members. What do you think?
No, not
so much? Okay. Nope. All right. Members of the clergy? You don't think that's?
No, that wasn't all right. I wouldn't tell anybody.
You can keep poking around, I'm not sure you're on the right track.
That's what she said. Hey, you guys want to hear some phone calls?
Sure.
Got nothing
else. That would be delightful. Oh, wow. Okay. I was a little more enthusiastic than Josh, so I'm looking forward to it. He's just willing to tolerate it.
I'm here, and we're recording, so why not?
All right. Got a ways to go before this is over, so we're going to fill the time.
Might as well fill the time. Saves me from having to think or say anything.
The phone number. Are you drinking a beer right now?
I wish, no.
What was that?
Like caffeinated water, flavored water, that grapefruit flavored water.
Soleil. With caffeine.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Good shit. All right.
Let's do it. By the way, the phone number is 626-657-6428. Or the mnemonic device to remember that is O Amuck PM Hat. I saw somebody spell amuck AMOCK the other day. It's running amok. I thought of Josh. No, it's AMOK. AMOK. So O, letter O, amuck PM hat. Please make a note of it. First phone call is this one right here. You ready?
Gentlemen, it's Ron from Claremont. Hey, since the beginning of your show, I've always enjoyed your guys' beer selections. You guys have always had a good taste in beer. That was until last week when Andy said that old Milwaukee tasted good. So I'm really beginning to think that another side effect of Andy's cancer treatment is maybe that his taste buds have become, bad? So I'm wondering if maybe we could conduct a science experiment to see how bad his taste buds have become. You know, if he can't differentiate between good beer and shit beer. So I'm thinking maybe we could get a can of Keystone, a bottle of some high quality stuff at BevMo, like a good IPA, and maybe Josh or someone can piss in a can and see if he can tell the difference between the three beers. Because if he thinks old Milwaukee tastes good, I bet he might not know the difference between piss, Keystone, and a high quality IPA anymore. All right. Hope you guys have a good one. Later.
I don't even know if it's a taste bud test. We should just do an Andy taste test. You know what I mean? Just see what his taste in general.
Yeah. See what I taste like?
I mean, nobody wants to taste you. Have you been affected in that area as far as like smell and taste?
No, I'm hungry as a bear all the goddamn time. I could eat all the time.
Yeah, but you find yourself eating like more saltier foods,
yeah,
more spicier foods.
No, I love it all. I'm hungry.
Have you found
all
yourself eating luncheon loaf?
No, not yet. That sounds so good. I only think of it when I'm in here talking to you guys. And then after it's done, I'm like, okay, let's go back to eating veggies. But no, I need to fry up some of that K-Spam that you guys gave me. And give a taste to it. By the way, for Ron, I did not say that old Milwaukee tasted good.
Yeah.
I said that the old Milwaukee near beer...
N.A.
is somewhat refreshing.
That's
when you get
shit,
it super
man.
Cold.
That old Milwaukee N.A. You got to dive in that. I want to do the Nestie splash in a pool. Old Milwaukee N.A.
All right. You ready for this one, Larry? I need a little intro.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's see if I got it ready.
Low energy by art.
Hey, Appers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Last week, working on the road job in the middle of nowhere. broke the rear suspension on my dump truck. Mm. Specifically, the trunnion mount. It's the shaft that the tandem rear ends pivot on. Once I broke the line, the bed to come almost down to the tires. Needless to say, it was loaded at the time. I got it unloaded and started calling for parts. This is on Friday afternoon of Memorial Weekend. I did find a part at a fairly close truck wrecking yard, an hour and a half away. Then I started looking for another dump truck to buy, as repair is not going to happen soon enough. A couple months ago, there were dump trucks for sale all over the place. Now, almost none to be found. I was considering a fairly nice one at a dealer about an hour away, at close to $80,000, when I got a lead on someone going out of business and picked up an old white Road Boss. Ugly as hell, but a solid truck that drives good with a good dump box on it. That was Monday. Tuesday, we went back to the job in the middle of nowhere and finished using up the stockpile of rock, then loaded up the broken Mac onto the tilt deck trailer, brought it back to the shop. And that's a long weekend in the life of a ditch digging man.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Wowie zowie, man.
I'm not even going to unpack that. But who knew there was good-looking dump trucks?
Yeah, with a good-looking dump box on it. When's the last time you saw a really sweet dump box?
The shaft was broken near the rear end, man. That's nuts.
And who knew there were dump trucks named after my penis? Old White Road Boss.
All right.
Hey. That was low energy, Mike. That was low energy, Mike.
I get the feeling that Low Energy Mike is just setting us up now. He's picking specifically provocative things to say.
Because he knows I'm a child and I can't sit still. If I hear something like that, just immediately start laughing.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. How cool is it to have a job where you say, hey, hon, gotta go buy a dump truck.
Yeah.
And you just go do it.
How cool is it that you actually know what a good-looking dump truck is? I mean, I don't know what the hell a good-looking dump truck is. I'm like, that looks like a dump truck. I can't tell if it's good-looking or not. Also, microchips and dump trucks. Who knew there was a shortage? I mean, what happened to all the dump trucks?
I'm gonna try to corner the market on dump trucks.
Where'd they all go? Like, what happened? Everybody's like, well, you know what? I'm gonna start doing my own dump trucking.
Hey, speaking of which, we got an email in the YAFSAC from Don McKellar, and amongst other things, he mentions Hello, Goodbye by the Beatles as lyrics that kind of drive him crazy just for the sheer simplicity, even though they're his favorite band of all time. But
by the way, another song that Paul McCartney wrote as a parlor trick with a dinner guest.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you say something and I'll say something. Hello. Goodbye.
Cindy's going to kill me, but that song, she cannot fit. Her brain can't get the hello, goodbye parts in the right order. She always says you say hello and I say goodbye. See, it's so many times in my head making fun of her that I don't even know what the real order is now. But she always screws the order of the hello, goodbye up in that song.
Anyway, Don also mentions that we spoke of renting a backhoe / equipment and maybe even, you know, heavy equipment fantasy camp. He mentions the website driveatank.com where you can drive tanks, fire machine guns, etc., which he says would be over the top. So we're in this kind of the same territory there.
I couldn't imagine that. Oh, man.
I had an uncle. My uncle Raider was
Raider.
A tank Raider. Isn't that a great name?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
R-A-T-O-R, Raider. I don't know where
the
name came from.
So it wasn't even a nickname? That's his actual name? It wasn't a nickname?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. It was his given name. I don't think it's biblical. Maybe. Anyway, Raider, yeah. And he was in a tank in the Battle of the Bulge.
My granddad was in the Battle of the Bulge. My granddad actually met Patton right after the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow.
Yeah.
My uncle lost his end of his, the half of his middle finger. I think it was this one. I think it was this. Yeah. Can you guys see that?
He met Major Ass Tired.
Can you guys see that? but driving a tank, that'd be fun.
Driving a tank with a guy named Raider would even be more effing awesome.
I'm looking at driveatank.com right now, and they've got the full-on treatment, depending on how much money you want to spend, the 3-star package, the 4-star package, all the way up to Sherman. And then here's my favorite, the add-ons. You want to pay a little extra? You can drive a tank over a car, or you can drive a tank over 2 cars, or you can drive a tank through a house. Well, guess which one I'm saving up for.
Exactly. Okay. Father's Day is coming up. Where's this at?
Is there a package where I can put a shell in the gun? Hey, and
is there one where you can?
Is there somebody in particular you would like to firebomb at some point?
Want to shoot that house?
Oh, okay.
Well, my question is: there one where you can drive it through a shed? Because I'll take about 5 of those. I'll take the shed and pull one.
You're so jealous. You're so jealous. Well, all right, I got one more phone call. You guys ready for this?
You betcha.
All right, here we go.
This is George from Long Beach. Just an update on the Memorial Day weekend. Had a nice long weekend. It was also my son and daughter-in-law's 9th anniversary, so we agreed to take the kids. They've got a son 6 and a daughter 3. We agreed to take them for 24 hours so they could enjoy some of their alone time. So over the weekend, played lots of Sorry, lots of Uno. He also brought his Nintendo Switch, but the parents didn't let him bring the charger, so he had to carefully use that battery charge. Anyway, he likes to play Minecraft, which he wanted me to play Minecraft on that, and it's difficult. Well, if you've never played it, the icons on that teeny screen are so small. So anyway, he says, well, why don't you go, look up on the internet. There's web pages that show you how to play Minecraft. So anyway, we did have a good time then watching Indy 500 and watching the Coca-Cola 600. The grandkid enjoyed that too. So nice chip off the old block. Anyway, he starts bugging me again about playing Minecraft. And it's like, no, the only computer game that I really play is Flight Simulator. And I was telling him, take off out of Long Beach, fly over to an airport in the sky at Canalita and have a Buffalo Burger. And he was kind of wondering about that. But that's actually something I've done in real life. My dad was a pilot, and occasionally he'd say, hey, you want to go have lunch at Catalina? So we would we'd hop in a plane, take off from Long Beach, fly over there, land at the airport in the sky, and you go into the airport there. There's a little restaurant. You can get a Buffalo Burger, and you can sit there eating a Buffalo Burger while you're looking out the window at the buffalo that are roaming through there. Anyway, that is something you can do in real life. That's the update. Until next time, this is George from Long Beach.
George, is George auditioning to fill in for Sam? I don't know. I mean, I appreciate George's calls, but they've gone from being informational to here is the detail and complete update. At what point did we say to George, hey, make sure you tell us everything you did this weekend? And I'm not picking on George. I've always been a George defender here, but I don't know where the shift happened.
Now, was he talking that he went and he played a video game and he got a burger in the video game or something?
He was talking about how in real life you can fly. He was talking about Flight Simulator. You could fly from whatever the airport was to Catalina and get a Buffalo Burger there, I guess, because they have Buffalo.
My takeaway was that he abandoned a 6- and 3-year-old to go to Catalina for Buffalo.
No, that's not what he was saying.
That's
not it.
You guys didn't hear the same thing?
You tuned out. You only picked up snippets of the conversation.
I will give him credit on the Minecraft thing. Mike Owen plays that crap, and it's just like,
oh, God.
It's like you sit down and look at it, and you're like, oh, this is just a silly little game. But then you start watching them and seeing the details and the stuff they're doing. You're like, holy crap, what happened to like Gorf or Dig Dug? This is insane.
All they'll want to talk about. Oh. It's all he wants to. He'll sit down at the table for dinner. It's like, hey, in Minecraft, you can do this. And then I'm like, Jesus Christ. He's like, hey, Daddy, you know what? I said, I don't know. What do you want to talk about Minecraft? It's just, it's incessant.
Oh, the back of my head has had so many conversations of Minecraft with Owen on the way home from school. And I pick him up and he's just sitting there just yammering on about these games. I'm like, and I can't be like, I don't even know what you're talking about, kids.
Dude,
like,
for me.
Yeah.
For me, in my kids' era, it was
Pokemon,
nonstop Pokemon. Well, exactly.
We went through that phase.
But it was years.
It was years. He had a poster up. Well, I remember very distinctly with Alex that he was really struggling with his multiplication tables. Just could not, like, flashcards. And Charlotte was just the incredible patience she had. She, like, you know, she has a teaching degree, so she was going through all the tricks and finding ways to, you know, have fun and reward him and just kind of really get these things. But he had a poster of every Pokemon up on the back of his closet, and he could be across the room.
Yeah.
And I would just point to one, and he would go, and he would give me the name, give me the attributes, give me the powers.
Like it's a fire type, and it does all this. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so if you can remember that, I know you can remember 9 times 7, which is 63, right? Is that
9 times 7? I don't know. Pikachu is a mouse, though.
Hey, I don't need to have that anymore. I've got a calculator on my phone. The point is,
By the way, last week, when we went down to Knott's Berry Farm, it was Owen's birthday, and they had a Build-A-Bear down there, and he wanted one, so they had like a Pokemon character, right? And kind of the running joke is I learned one Pokemon like right off the bat, and that was just like all I ever talked about. And it just happened to be the worst Pokemon in the world is this one called Magikarp, where it's literally just a fish that flops on the ground and has like no powers.
Yeah.
And so they're doing his building Build-A-Bear and everything, and she's asking him what his favorite Pokemon was. And he says something, I don't know. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like, because apparently she was a Pokemon nerd too. So she knows all this stuff. So she's having this conversation about Pokemon and everything. And she looks at me and she goes, who's your favorite Pokemon? And I go, Magikarp. She's like, why Magikarp? And I'm like, because he's the worst. And she looked at me and literally broke down laughing for about 15 minutes because she's like, I was not expecting that you to even have any idea what a Magikarp was. I'm like, yeah, he's the worst. We call him Magic Crap.
Man, that was for me, that was nonstop. It seemed like years. That's all I heard about. And I tried to retain it so I could try and bond with him. I had to go to those freaking movies, which were terrible.
Did you learn to play the card game?
No, I did one time. He tried.
Well, yeah. When he was getting into it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to embrace this because it's a game. And he doesn't have anybody to play with, so I'm like, I'm going to learn how to play this, and maybe it seems like it's not an easy game, you know what I mean? There's like nuances to it, so I'm like, I'm gonna learn, and then we'll play together. I played like 2 times. I'm like, this is stupid. I hate this game. I don't know this blue dragon fire thingies, and I got to flip a coin, and I don't know. It's got to have power. I'm done. I don't care.
On the plus side, we did save all of them, and even the collectible tins and all that stuff. And he recently kind of dug that stuff up, did a little research, and determined that he might have a couple of $1,000 worth of collectibles in there.
I have made it clear
that since I paid for them, I get a cut. So
we see now, like Target and Walmart and stuff, they're not selling them anymore because the people are going nuts. There's like violence breaking out over Pokemon cards.
It's cuckoo.
I feel like going into Popeye's chicken and saying, hey, can I have one of those sandwiches that people kill each other over?
Now people are over that now. Though. Yeah.
The Pikachu stuff, though. Silas is the one that realized this. We were watching a documentary last summer or summer before last about nature documentary, and they're talking about this up in the Rocky Mountains. There's this little rodent, this rat looking guy who's super cute, and he's like halfway between a rat and a bunny, and he just eats grass. And has a little hole that he puts it in, and then they'll steal each other's grass and stuff. And if he gets angry at the other guy, he just opens his mouth really big and screams. It's the cutest thing you've ever seen. and it's called a pika, P-I-K-A.
There you go.
Silas is the one that we named our cat Pika because she kind of looked like one, and it was the same coloring. And then he did a diorama on the pika for school. You had to pick an animal that you wanted to do a report on. He's the one that connected the dots. Pikachu is a pika, a Pikachu. I had no idea.
Well, here's the effed up thing about Pokemon. I like to say it this way that infuriates Owen. I'm like, here's what I like to tell you about your Pokemans. just wait till they get a little older and just start slipping Pokemans in there and watch their heads just turn red. They're all like Pikachu. His name, that's not his name. That's like calling you human. Hi, my name is human.
That's his That's his species.
But everybody calls him Pikachu. So it's like, hey, human. And he's like, this is my friend human. And I don't get it. Why don't they don't have names? They're all, he's like, this is, I don't understand it. Those things are, I hate
you're
those
angry.
Yeah. I can't stand those things. They don't make sense.
Well, does it make sense that a Pikachu became a detective? I mean, it's like, where did that come from?
Well,
who discovered that he had the deductive powers? Can't even understand him.
Are there like predatory Pokemans? Do they like come running out of the bush and eat other Pokemans? I've never seen that happen. I want to see like a Pokemon, like they're always fighting each other. They're always beating the shit out of each other, but nobody ever eats anybody. Right? Like, shouldn't the bigger ones eat the little ones? It's just like tigers eat dogs.
Tigers? Hey, folks, if you've learned anything today, and look, we are the podcast that is, we like to think we're informational here, and we're not here just to entertain, we're here to educate. But if there's anything that you take away from today's episodes, it's tigers. That tigers eat dogs.
You know
play
what
the
I mean?
Theme, Andy, that's the last thing we need to hear.
On the food pyramid, dogs are below tigers. So
dogs
tiger
are below
tigers,
absolutely.
Ticked all of the boxes. We got the title right there at the end.
So, is there a Pokemon pyramid? Shouldn't there be?
Yeah.
I think, Dick Clark hosted it. Larry, were there any other emails to get to in the Yaf sack today?
Should I even bother after that?
By the way, I just saw that a couple more people went to the Yaf store and bought some Yaf crap. It's yafcrap.com. Is that right? I think that's right.
Yafcrap.com.
Yafcrap.com.
Yafcrap.com. Not carp, people, crap.
See, a couple of people decided they needed to have, your artificial friend's coffee mug, and they availed themselves of it.
Yeah, we do have a couple in the Yafsack, yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. Stephen A. enjoys the podcast, says, fantastic podcast, a little late with the song lyrics, but I always liked Def Leppard's Armageddon. But was like, what am I singing? Yeah, you jangle your jewels while you're shaking your... And drive the pretty boys out of their heads. Yeah. He says, I need Josh to analyze that song. Well, you don't have time.
I'm still thinking about the Pokemon pyramid.
It sounds like George from Long Beach's house is turning into the Magic Castle. That's a funny comment. And lastly, send Andy this link and he can order boysenberry jam from the Knott's Berry Farm Marketplace or whatever else he wants. I've got that if you need it there, Andy. So thank you, Stephen A.
I want fresh fucking boysenberries. And I'm still pissed that Josh, you went down there, saw, fresh boysenberries. Reminds me of Andy.
It was jam. It was stuff in jars. I don't even know what a fresh boysenberry looks
like.
I want to make pie.
I want a fresh boysenberry.
Here's an email from John K. Hi guys, too funny. Love you guys on the Elton John song again from the Songs We Love lyrics that we can't stand. I always thought the owl was hunting the horny-backed toad, not the singer, but that was my interpretation. Well, my objections still hold, John, because horny-backed toad was the main issue, not anything to do with who was hunting. The point is, there is no such thing as a, quote, horny-backed toad. Earth, Wind, and Fire song, I always thought they were saying party on, which kind of fits
party on!
But that is not, according to the lyric sites, that is not it.
I'm going to substitute that in from now on.
The Led Zeppelin song, John says, they were definitely on drugs after reading The Lord of the Rings and decided to write a song. That's a pretty accurate one.
Think that they were even trying to write a song.
And then finally from Food Court, and this is from Ed Squires, labeled Food Court, and this is maybe something to, let's not debate it now because I really want to get done with this, but Ed says, hey guys, I have an idea for Food Court. Although I personally have not tried this, I hear many people like sugar in their spaghetti or lasagna. Should this be a topic?
What do you mean, like sugar in the sauce or like as an added?
No, I think like maybe added, and I feel like I've heard of that too. I don't know if that's as prominent, but I have heard people do that.
We should table this, and we should talk about this next time.
Yeah. All right. So if you want to drop us a line. Yes.
Let's say right now.
Let's research it, and then we'll come together with our decisions, and then we will convene a food court next episode.
The food court will be convened next week, so you have
the Crammer will be slammed.
Yeah.
You have a couple of days, as you're hearing this, to get your food court questions, to put a case on the docket.
Everybody,
yeah. I mean, we might have time to do a speed round, too, if we get multiple requests. So
everybody get your powdered wigs ready.
And our decisions, the decisions of this tribunal are binding.
And final. Yes. Is the crammer handy? You have a handy?
Oh, it's right. Yeah.
Do you have a handy crammer to slam?
I have a handy crammer.
All right, good. I just want to make sure it's okay.
Larry, how can people get a hold of you if they want?
Best way is probably to follow me on Instagram. That's @TheLarryMorgan. How about you, Josh?
JoshuaJFlieger@gmail.com.
I am available at Andy_Chanley on Twitter, Andy Chanley on the Instagram, and DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook. Haven't been on either in 3 weeks.
Yeah, don't expect much when you follow us or send an email, but it is available. And we do have our Your Artificial Friends Facebook page where we post the episode every week, but also depending on which podcast source that you like to enjoy, they're on all of them. They're on Stitcher. It's on iHeartRadio. I think it's on now it's on Spotify. If you got your Spotify account, and of course, Apple Podcasts. And if you do listen to Your Artificial Friends and you enjoy it and you think other people might like it, please share. Also, if you can rate it and give it a decent rating and even a review, that helps other people find us so that we can actually make even more money on this venture. I mean, we could make 10 times more than we're making right now you did that.
And when you're rating, you don't have to give us 5 stars.
Just say, we've never made money on this. This has been a losing, I know, but losing
the math still works because nothing.
I know. We've actually lost money on it.
And I've lost teeth.
Does that mean that the more people like it, the more money we lose?
Oh, shoot. I haven't thought of that. Well, look, anytime now our Old Milwaukee Near Beer sponsorship should be coming through. So I feel like
we should just start doing it like you said. Like,
I think I'm going to come up. That's the other thing. Next week, I'm going to come up with copy. I'm going to send it to all of us. We're going to have a break for an ad read, and that will be featured right in the middle of it. And I got to think Old Milwaukee will pony up something. Yeah, or pony keg up something.
See, hey. I should come up with a jingle for it, for old Milwaukee Near Beer.
Nah, don't worry about it.
I bet it would be the first jingle for a non-alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, man. I think the more we can dazzle them with our commitment to the product, the more opportunity is. I say go for it. How are you gonna contribute, Josh?
I was just actually thinking about, I think we should just do like we should do a commercial for it. We could like splash around in the pool. Like, remember when they, what was the Saturday Night Live bit?
Oh, Schmidt's gay.
Yeah, we should create our own viral spot for it.
Yeah.
And it's just full, instead of people having a great time, it's just people that are just listless.
Surly. Yeah. All right, well, you storyboard the spot. Okay, we've all got our assignments now. So, it's all good.
When
wait, is that the right key?
I don't know.
People that you know don't like.
Is there really a key?
When
is this song out of key?
People that you know.
Chemo brain, and it's got that chemo brain.
One, two, three, five.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you trust to this podcast, we're your artificial friends.
Is it possible to have the best and worst episode of all time at the same time?